The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in Matthew, the 4th chapter. Now when Jesus heard that John the Baptizer had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee, and he left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Experimenting a little bit this morning with what our preaching professors say is to be a little more open to the center of things. So that's what I'm going to try. Excuse my coming down here. So, Friday morning, I was working out with a friend of mine at 24 Hour Fitness who was talking about he had to leave early from working out because he had to go to a breakfast meeting with Inspiration Ranch. How many of you know about Inspiration Ranch? Yeah, it's right down the road here on Glenlock. It was flooded out like many of our neighbors were with the floods in May, both of them. They had to get the horses out of there, and thank God there were a lot of volunteers who helped. I met some other members at a fundraiser a couple of years ago and was impressed by that. Their mission is to use horses to bring especially physically and mentally challenged children, autistic children, out of their shells through equine therapy, horse therapy, connecting them with horses. So I had to go home after my buddy told me about this and checked out their website, and I was really kind of impressed with what they're doing. Anyway, I had no idea this friend of mine was so involved in something like this. So I had to ask him, "Well, what compelled you to get involved in this thing?" And he said, "Well, we have a son who has Asperger's syndrome. I can never spell that or pronounce it right. But anyway," he said, "their therapist encouraged them to go check the place out." So they did, and he couldn't say enough about what a difference it made in helping their son open up and become more social. It was part of the journey for him. Incredible place to help kids open up. And so you can say he was compelled, called by the transformation in his son's life, huh? And you can say, the question for today is, what compels you? What compelled the many folks with the Lord of Life tune-in team that you heard about last week, who were compelled to spend hours and hours listening to the book of Acts in the Bible and listening to us, 50-some organizations in the congregation, and to our community to figure out what are the needs in our community that we need to pay attention to. And I would submit to you on some level, what happened to them was that a light dawned on them that enlightened them and then empowered them to take a direction in their life that they had never imagined taking. Well, our gospel reading has to do with some of that. And it has to do with some guys like this. Actually, there were four successful men involved in the fishing industry: Simon Peter, Andrew, his brother, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and then ultimately Matthew, the tax collector, came from Capernaum too, by the way, the same town. They were compelled to leave everything behind, not just to go to a 7 a.m. breakfast to fundraising meeting or to join a listening ministry, but to actually leave their jobs and their businesses and follow Jesus. What compelled them to do such a thing? Well, I want to do a little geography lesson to help us kind of look at this. So, first of all, here's the Mediterranean world. And some of you, how many of you have been to the Holy Land? Several of you, I'm jealous. But you can see where it is. It's way over on the right-hand side there on the Mediterranean Sea, that little area of the world there. Italy's way over to the left, and Greece and Turkey, and then there's the Holy Land, this very influential little part of the world. And an area of the world that had been overtaken many times by various empires, various political forces and kingdoms in the world, especially these two areas. This shows the different tribes of Israel and their land that had been assigned to them. And way up near the top, you can see that little blue Sea of Galilee in there. Just near that is Zebulun, and then the yellow area is Naphtali, the neighborhood of the region of Naphtali, two of the sons of Jacob. Any rate, this area especially kept getting overrun, their tribal homelands, because they were on this route that led out to the Mediterranean Sea, this commerce route. And so, over and over, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and then, of course, in Jesus' day, the Roman Empire was occupying this area of the world. And Capernaum, which you can see a little bit better in this map, see Capernaum up there? It's just on the north end of the Sea of Galilee. And this is one of the trade centers in Naphtali at the north end. And it's where we hear today that Jesus chose to make his headquarters. And on this map, you can see that it's in relationship to Nazareth. See Nazareth, where he was born, and I mean, where his parents hid him when King Herod was threatened by the children of Israel, afraid that the Messiah was going to take over his political power. So they hid Jesus in this little backward town of Nazareth. And then there you see Jerusalem, which was the spiritual center of the Israelite faith, the Jewish faith. All these places just so real and so significant in history, still are. But down south, there's Jerusalem. And then here's, by the way, what Capernaum looks like today, for those of you who've seen it. Fascinating. Right on the Sea of Galilee. And it's no longer an active fishing village. It's owned by the Greek Orthodox Church of the 12 Apostles. There's a big red dome church there. It's got fascinating murals in it I'd love to see someday. And then there's the synagogue. And these are the ruins of really not the synagogue of Jesus' day, but the 4th century synagogue that replaced it. But this is where Jesus preached and taught for many years, for those few years when he was in Capernaum. And this is where he healed the blind man, among other things. And then, here are the ruins of Peter's house, which became a house church when they got kicked out of the synagogue, right? And for about 100 years or so, Peter's house was a house church until a new church was built over that. And finally, this incredible octagonal church was built over the top of the whole thing. And again, I wouldn't mind seeing that, because it's, you know, some people say, well, it's gotten so commercialized, but I think it says something about our faith journey through the centuries. But this was the particular geography where Jesus was called to preach and teach and heal. That's where he was. Jesus lived in this occupied land, as I was saying, whose rulers routinely oppressed all the ethnic and religious minorities, and the people were seeking a Messiah, an anointed leader, to deliver them from this oppressive regime. But of course, we know this. Jesus had a different agenda, didn't he? He understood this, that even the most powerful kingdoms of the world are temporary. They're nothing compared to the kingdom of the heavens that Jesus was called to launch in this world that will last forever. Jesse Carey is a non-denominational preacher I follow sometimes on the internet, and he says this: Jesus wasn't out for votes. He was out for hearts. Yes, he wanted social change, but for him, that change started when he upended how people thought about their neighbors, not just about their rulers. And it reminds me a little bit of a Dr. Martin Luther King quote I read this last Monday when we were reflecting on his history. One of his sermons was on Jesus' parable about the Good Samaritan, in which he said this: "The first question which the priest and Levite asked themselves as they went along the road and saw this man left for dead was this: if I stop to help this man, what'll happen to me?" But then Martin Luther King says this: "But the Good Samaritan reversed the question and asked this: if I don't stop to help this man, what's going to happen to him?" That's how we see Jesus in his geographical setting, as Matthew makes this clear: teaching, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease among the people. And that's how Jesus found these fishermen who were compelled to follow, leaving their lucrative business behind, because they were successful business people, and taking up with other men and women Jesus said to them, "Follow me," in loyalty, not to other kingdoms and empires and other things that demand your loyalty in this world, but loyalty to the rule of God over your entire life. And you know what? As dim-witted as those disciples were, sometimes, they did grasp this new reality enough that they got up and they followed him. In that light, you've heard by now, Pastor David Bowser has accepted our call to join us in a few weeks to minister with us here at Lord of Life. What do you suppose compelled him to do that? Well, you get to ask him in person in a few weeks. And again, what compels you? That's the more important question. I asked that of the men's Bible study this last Saturday. I said, "What on earth compelled you to get up early this morning on a Saturday morning when you could be sleeping in to come to this Bible study?" You know what? Not one of them said it's for the kolaches. There were answers like this, though: "Well, this event happened and my life changed. It'll never be the same. I saw God's hand intervening in my sickness and I recovered. And I know it was the hand of God that made me well." And another one said, "I keep getting so restless. I know there's more to life than working and eating and sleeping and all that. And when I come to this study, it sheds light on what my life is all about." And another one just simply said, "On my own, I just can't get there. I need direction from God's word, and I get it when I come and talk it over with you all like this." Well, what compelled you to get up and come to church this morning when it's no longer the socially accepted thing to do? Right? It isn't. And what compelled 600 of our members to get involved actively in various ministries this year? Do you know that? 600 people helped out in some ministry at Lord of Life this year out of 1,500 people. That is incredible. So when you hear somebody say, "Nobody wants to do anything around here," think again. Just ain't so. There's a lot of passion around here. Or what compelled my friend to get up for a fundraising breakfast on Friday morning for Inspiration Branch? You know, there's so many things. Well, it's right here in this gospel quote from Isaiah: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land of the shadow of death, by the oppressive governments that kept taking them over, upon them has the light shined. Jesus has arrived, the light of life. In him, you've seen some glimmer of the light of Jesus' reign breaking into your life, into our world, or you would never have showed up here this morning. I've seen the light, you could say, even if it's just a faint glimmer, or you wouldn't be showing up here at all. And it's affected you in little ways and big ways, hasn't it, that you could tell us about if we had the time. You are a child of the light now, see? That's what you are. Started in your baptism, and it continues throughout our lives. You are a child of the light. Compelled, like those early disciples, with Christ's claim on you to be a bearer of light in a world where there's a lot of darkness, where others are still oppressed by their particular darknesses. And you know something of what Dr. Martin Luther King also said, meant when he said this, darkness cannot overcome darkness. Only light can overcome darkness. In the same way, hate cannot overcome hate. Only love can overcome hate. And the more we grow into this reality of the dawning light of the kingdom coming, the kingdom of light, we are freed. I love this quote that I ran into this last week. It said this, "I am a citizen of a kingdom that cannot be shaken, a child of a king with no limitations." Isn't that cool? That's who you are. There's this song that reminds us of this, because in that light, called like the disciples, we're on a life journey continuing to leave behind our old ways, one after another, our old ways of thinking, our old ways of behaving, to follow him, because we know, this song says, the light of our life is Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The day and the night are both alike. The lamp is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. Right? So, to what particular geography or situations is Jesus calling you this coming week? And how on earth are you going to explain to your friends what's compelling you to do it?